Etymology and meanings of poststructuralism literary theory. Etymologically, poststructuralism comprises two different terms, post as its prefix as it occurs in the beginning of the word, structuralism. Therefore, it means the time after structuralism. Definition of this word shows that now it is a complete word having its own semantic shades. Grammatically, it is a noun and shows a type of philosophy, or system of thoughts, or ideas having its own principles. Definition of poststructuralism literary theory. In literary theory, poststructuralism, however, is still used with a hyphen that does not make any difference either. This literary theory is based on the ideas comprising rejection points of structuralism almost of the same theorists who form the group behind structuralism, or that they were late structuralists. It means they reject the self-sufficiency of the structuralist point of view, do not accept binary opposition, do not accept pre-assumed notions of the socially constructed reality, propagate texts having independent existence and readers having the independence of meaning-making. Difference between structuralism and poststructuralism literary theories. Structuralism uses underlying structures in literary texts, including linguistics or anthropology, to interpret cultural nuances. It also takes into account binary oppositions, while poststructuralism rejects these notions, taking into account the system of knowledge, text, or objects, excluding the creators and including the existing culture. Origin of poststructuralism literary theory. Although it seems that poststructuralism immediately emerged after structuralism, it actually emerged during the decade of the 52nds and ruled the theoretical academic setting until the 82nds. Although it stepped out of its philosophical realm, it touched critical theory and social sciences and entered the literary discipline, considering systematic studies of literary pieces as an important step forward. Almost all structuralists worked to launch the post-structural movement except a few figures, while the Gang of Four in structuralism also joined post-structuralists except Lévi-Strauss. Some others like Derrida, Kristeva, and Deleuze also joined them to cause some stir in the philosophical movement. Principles of poststructuralism literary theory. I. Poststructuralists contend that an individual is a hodgepodge of conflicts and confusion due to classification based on several factors such as class, gender, and culture. Hence, every individual has a unique self that is based on a unique cultural background. It means that every reader is different, having different discursive or other impacts on the self. AI. The author holds secondary importance in the mean-making process. AI. The reader gets top priority after a text comes into being. Every reader has his own meaning, depending on their level of understanding, culture, social situation, and upbringing. If a text could have multiple purposes and objectives to achieve, it is not important to reach that objective. V. What is important is that a text could have various interpretations after it undergoes a critiquing process. VI. Meanings are not fixed and permanent. They rather fluctuate from reader to reader and are not stable. There are also other sources of meaning such as culture, norms, mores, conventions, and even signs and symbols. VI. Binary opposition is a myth. There are other important considerations to take care of. VI. It has given rise to metalanguage, or the discussion of the main elements of language and how it works. Criticism against poststructuralism literary theory. Examples of poststructuralism. Example number 1. From Death of the Author by Roland Barthes. In his story Sarasine, Balzac, speaking of a castrato disguised as a woman, writes this sentence: "It was woman, with her sudden fears, her irrational whims, her instinctive fears, her unprovoked bravado, her daring and her delicious delicacy of feeling, who is speaking in this way. Is it the story's hero, concerned to ignore the castrato concealed beneath the woman? Is it the man Balzac, endowed by his personal experience with the philosophy of woman? Is it the author Balzac, professing certain literary ideas of femininity? Is it universal wisdom? Or romantic psychology? It will always be impossible to know, for the good reason that all writing is itself this special voice, consisting of several indiscernible voices, and that literature is precisely the invention of this voice, to which we cannot assign a specific origin. Literature is that neuter, that composite, that oblique into which every subject escapes, the trap where all identity is lost, beginning with the very identity of the body that writes." This essay by Barthes demonstrates the application of poststructuralism and its different aspects. The questions given after the main introduction show how Barthes thinks that the story by Balzac should show its meaning. It is not just the story, rather, it is Balzac himself, his philosophy, and different facets of his personality that peep through it. Therefore, poststructuralism breaks away from structuralism in this aspect. Example number 2. From The Thing, Structure and the Play in the Discourse of the Human Sciences by Jacques Derrida. Perhaps something has occurred in the history of the concept of structure that could be called an event, if this loaded word did not entail a meaning which it is precisely the function of structural, or structurality, thought to reduce or to suspect. But let me use the term event anyway, employing it with caution and as if in quotation marks. In this sense, this event will have the exterior form of a rupture and a redoubling. It would be easy enough to show that the concept of structure and even the word structure itself are as old as the episteme, that is to say, as old as Western science and Western philosophy, and that their roots thrust deep into the soil of ordinary language, into whose deepest recesses the episteme plunges to gather them together once more, making them part of itself in a metaphorical displacement. This passage from Derrida shows the application of science, structure, and language. Specifically, his last comment about metaphorical language as part of episteme shows his understanding of structuralism, and the limits of this philosophical concept when it comes to textbooks. Example number 3. From The Order of Discourse by Mitchell Foucault. Here is the hypothesis which I would like to put forward tonight in order to fix the terrain, or perhaps the very provisional theater, of the work I am doing, that in every society the production of discourse is at once controlled, selected, organized, and redistributed by a certain number of procedures whose role is to ward off its powers and dangers, to gain mastery over its chance events, to evade ponderous, formidable materiality. In a society like ours, the procedures of exclusion are well known. The most obvious and familiar is the prohibition. We know quite well that we do not have the right to say everything, that we cannot speak of just anything in any circumstances whatever, and that not everyone has the right to speak anything whatever. This passage from Mitchell Foucault beautifully sums up his views about discourse or written words or narratives, which is also considered literature. If this counts too much, which means the control over literature, several tenets of structuralism lose their value, such as signs, their meanings, the author's purpose, and cultural embeddedness. Therefore, this shows the arrival of post-structuralism. Several poems show this application as they are intended to have meanings packed in them for a specific purpose after which the real authors do not have control over their impacts. Example number 4. From The Laugh of the Medusa by Helene Sixis, translation by Keith Cohen and Paula Cohen. Women must put herself into the text, as into the world and into history, by her own movement. The future must no longer be determined by the past. I do not deny that the effects of the past are still with us, but I refuse to strengthen them by repeating them, to confer upon them an irremovability the equivalent of destiny, to confuse the biological and the cultural. Anticipation is imperative. Since these reflections are taking shape in an area juice set on the point of being discovered, they necessarily bear the mark of our time, a time during which the new breaks away from the old, and, more precisely, the new from the old. Thus, as there are no grounds for establishing a discourse, but rather an arid millennial ground to break, what I say has at least two sides and two aims: to break up, to destroy, and to foresee the unforeseeable, to project. This passage occurs in the popular essay of Helen Sixis, The Laugh of Medusa. Although it discusses femininity from a new perspective or femininity from the feminine perspective, it shows clearly the suggestion of Sixis about two sides and two aims that are to leave the past and see the future. This is what post-structuralism shows by keeping the past away from the future. Keywords in post-structuralism literary theory: signified, transcendental signified, logocentrism, phonocentrism, archi writing, supplement, difference, presence absence, defer difference, aporia, impasses, trace, code, denotation, connotation, encoding, decoding, salience, semiosis, semiosifer, umwelt. Suggested readings: Foucault, Mitchell. The Order of Things. Routledge, 2005. Sixis, Helene. The Laugh of the Medusa. Feminism's Redux, an Anthology of Literary Theory and Criticism, 416-431. Agar, Ben. Critical Theory, Poststructuralism, Postmodernism, Their Sociological Relevance. Annual Review of Sociology 17.1, 105-131. Derrida, Jack. 1970. Structure, Sign, and Play in the Discourse of the Human Sciences. In the Languages of Criticism and the Sciences of Man, The Structuralist Controversy, pp. 247-272, edited by Richard Maxey and Eugenio Donato, Johns Hopkins University, London. 1970.